Madam Bailiff, this is Justice Miller-Lerman, and the court has agreed for ease of administration that Justice Castle will preside on this matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome to the last argument of the morning. This is argument in State versus Jacob. Before we begin, we will introduce the members of the court in order of seniority by service on this court.
Good morning. This is Justice Miller-Lerman.
William Castle, good morning.
Jeff Funk, good morning.
Jonathan Pavick, good morning.
It appears that there is no appearance on behalf of the appellant, Stephen Jacob. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Well, Mr. Ralph, welcome. We've been using the standard admonishment to wear your mask and maintain social distancing, except when you're presenting your argument and during presentation of argument. Please remove the mask so that we may hear and understand you. And when arguments are completed, we'll ask that you exit by the side door to your are ready. You may approach and you may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Austin Ralph. I represent the state of Nebraska. This is a DNA Testing Act appeal. There are several assigned errors, but the primary issue appears to be whether the district court properly denied the motion for DNA testing on the ground that the requested testing would not provide non-cumulative exculpatory evidence. In short, we agree with the district court's reading and ruling, and I will address that in more detail below, but we ask this court more detail shortly, but we ask this court to affirm the judgment below.
Mr. Ralph, you would concede that we have said in the past that obtaining DNA testing is a relatively low bar.
Yes.
How does that relate to your argument?
Sure. Well, this court most recently reiterated that standard in Myers, I think, 2020 decision, but this court has also said in State versus Ildefonso that if the requested testing would not produce exculpatory evidence, then it is properly denied. That's what I think we have here. Exculpatory evidence defined by statute in 29-4119 basically means evidence which is favorable to the person in custody and material to the issue of the guilt of the person in custody. And for the reasons that the district court set forth below, I don't think that we have that here. I think it's important that the defendant acknowledged or conceded at the hearing on his motion that he's only looking for DNA of himself, the two victims, Melody Hopper and Mr. Etherton, and then John Ingram, who lived in the basement of the house. The presence of the defendant's DNA on any of this would obviously be inculpatory. His absence wouldn't prove anything other than that he was not present in that particular sample, but that's, you know, really not exculpatory considering the wealth of evidence showing his involvement. This court said that in the past, that the absence of defendant's DNA doesn't necessarily prove exculpatory. And then most importantly, I think, as far as the three other individuals, is that they lived at the house. And so the presence of their DNA on any of these items would not be of any real probative value. This is the reasoning, I think, that this court adopted in Myers specifically. And I think it holds true here. And combine that with the fact that his theory of what happened here, which he sets forth, I think, most clearly on transcript pages 83 to 86, is pretty speculative. I think that's to put it mildly. And the conclusions that he says he could draw from the DNA testing just don't logically follow. The clearest example I can think of is the gauze sample, which he says, and the record showed it was a gauze sample from a spot in the living room on the floor. And he thinks that if Mr. Etherton's DNA or Hopper's DNA is found in this gauze sample, then he can prove that Etherton forcefully assaulted Hopper sexually, that he sodomized her, that it was non-consensual, and that that provided a motive for Hopper to shoot him. And none of that is logical. It just is, would not be proven or had any chance of being proven by DNA testing. It would just show that they were there in the living room, which is undisputed. And so for those reasons, we think the district court properly denied the motion for DNA testing. As far as the other assigned errors, the motions for counsel and then alter or amend, as I said in my brief, I think they depend on the resolution of the DNA testing assigned error. If this court agrees that it was properly denied, then so was the motion for counsel, and any error in the denial of the motion to alter or amend would be harmless. And then finally, the record on appeal, unless this court has questions, I'd stand on my what I said in my brief on that one, as far as I don't really see an issue there.
The BOE before us does not include the trial transcript, is that correct?
That's correct. The BOE is just two volume transcript of the two hearings on the DNA testing motion, and then the exhibits, he offered 15 exhibits at the second hearing.
But they asked the court to take judicial notice of the trial transcript?
That was not my reading of it. The state, I think, in offering their motion to deny DNA testing simply said, hey, we've referenced certain portions of the BOE in our motion, here it is. And then I think my recollection is that they also brought in one of the volumes of the BOE, maybe the exhibit, to show to the court. But I don't know that necessarily that matters, because this court in Myers, it was a similar deal where the BOE of the original trial was not offered as evidence. This court noted it in the 2018 case, and yet in both that case and the 2020 Myers case, referred to the BOE, talked about the trial facts, and it seems to me it would be similar to like a post-conviction where the records and files in front of the court include the prior proceedings, just as a matter of course. So long story short, I don't think it was judicially noticed necessarily, but I think it was properly before the trial court as I'm reading Myers, and thus properly before this court. Unless this court has further questions, we ask that you affirm the district court's ruling.
Are there any other questions? It appears not. Thank you, Mr. Rupp.
Thank you.
The appeal is submitted and counsel are excused, and the court is adjourned for the day.